Thank you, praise team. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to Luke chapter 2 today. Luke chapter 2 is where I'm going to be speaking from. Before I share from God's Word today, I do want to, again, highlight Christmas Eve services, Saturday 4 and 6, next Sunday at 10. I encourage you to come to one of those, if not many of those. You can come to all three, as Pastor Eric said, and invite somebody. I encourage you to grab a postcard if you haven't invited someone. I've invited some people, and you never know, they might come, or maybe they will come, and what a great thing would be. So I encourage you to invite someone to come. Another thing that I should let you know is that we are having, in the children's time, in the Sunday school time, a Christmas party for Jesus this morning, which I think is great, because that's really what Christmas is all about. And sometimes we get lost in gifts and what I'm going to get. And by the way, has everybody bought my Christmas present yet for me? I'm joking. Oh, Naya said yes. So thank you, Naya, for getting my Christmas. What'd you get me? Not telling. Okay, well, I'll have to wait. But it's about Jesus and about him coming to our earth. And so we have a birthday party. Part of that is happening downstairs in the fellowship hall. So right at 10 o'clock, if you're eating something and you notice some people scurrying around and they start pushing you out the door, either join with them and have a wonderful Merry Christmas and help with the craft, which you could do, I'm assuming they let you help them out, or time to move on to your Sunday school class. And I encourage you to do that. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to be talking about love today. We've talked about hope. We've talked about peace. We've talked about joy. On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I'm going to talk about Emmanuel, God with us. And I hope that you're going to be able to be here. I know several of you are traveling. And so if you're traveling, have a wonderful Merry Christmas. And love is an interesting word that we need to look at today. It can be hard to know what love looks like. And just so everyone knows, it's 58 days away now that Valentine's Day comes, all right? So everybody just be prepared, because as soon as January 1 hits, if not already, there's gonna be Valentine's Day things coming up. Dan, is there anything in Hobby Lobby yet for Valentine's Day? Not yet. Dan works at Hobby Lobby, and he'll tell me like in July, well, we got our first Christmas shipment in. Well, we've put something out. I don't know when they start putting Christmas stuff out. Right after the rally, I think, or some crazy time. Anyway, 58 days away, Valentine's Day. It's a day that was set aside by Hallmark to say it's a day of love. And I want to look at love in a little different way today, I think, from God's Word. And here's what I want you to get. Let love come in and share God's love. That's what I want you to get today. Let love come in and share God's love. Thank you, Jim and Shirley, for reading for us already in Luke. I'm going to read from chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. So join me if you would. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Here's a couple things that I want you to grab out of these passages, and I'm going to actually be looking at verses 15 to 20 as well. I'm not going to read that, but we're going to get to that in a little bit. Joseph and Mary stayed together. Here's what love says. Love says, I will stay together. Statistics tell us that many couples who start living together or are involved intimately before they get married, statistically, there is a higher percentage of divorce. That's what statistic tells us. And even among Christians, there's something about, oh, we can do this, we can be involved in this way, and it's no big deal. And the Bible would say, no, you need to find yourself in a married relationship according to the law of the land. Now, Joseph found out some interesting news. Oh, my betrothed is pregnant. This is not a good thing. What am I going to do with this? If you've ever found yourself in that situation, you're like, How do we tell the news? How do we let this information out? When a mate is faced with possible infidelity, there creates quite a stir and then leaves the other mate with a choice. What do I do? Do I flee? Do I stay? And boy, are there some tense moments. If you've ever been in that situation or you know of some, there is some very tense moments. But here's what happens with Joseph and Mary. Obviously, this was all done according to what Scripture would have, and it was all done right. And they agreed to work together to make this union one. In this day and age, there are many challenges, I think, to the traditional marriage. And I just want to point out a couple of things from Scripture that say it's a man and a woman. It points out, the Scripture points out that the first man and woman was Adam and Eve. And here we have many years later when Jesus makes an entrance into the world. It involves the birth of a mother and the love of a father who stay and care for this little baby who came out by the name of Jesus. One man and one woman with Jesus in the mix is God's design for us. Love says this, I will stay together. And that's what happened here. Mary, then, and Joseph, they were told that they needed to do a little traveling. Now, this is an interesting mix for me in my world here because, you know, I sit there and say, what are we thinking here exactly? But here's what love says. Love says, I will go. Some of you ladies need to be praised because men are typically the conquerors, are the ones who say, let's go and go on some crazy missions. And ladies, you're just like, what? Why are we doing this? And men sometimes say, come on, we're going. And we just drag you along with us. Men, we need to be leaders, but we also need to provide and protect for our wives. And women, you must know this about your man if you're married. I can only imagine the discussion that happened that evening. So Mary, we need to go to Bethlehem. And Mary's saying, well, don't you realize that I'm really close to giving birth here? Yep, but we need to go. I can hear Mary says, well, the doctor said that I needed to do some walking. But I didn't figure it'd be quite that long. As a reminder to you, the distance between Nazareth and Bethlehem was about 70 miles. That's quite a distance, if you will. Let's go for a walk. But maybe then a light clicks on. Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor is given birth, and the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. Maybe they knew they had to go. Maybe they didn't. But if they did, maybe they said, oh, this is how God's going to work this one out. Some of you understand that. Maybe this is how God's going to work this one out. Sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we miss that totally. Now, many pictures show Mary riding on a donkey. We're not sure exactly. It's not in the Bible. And I have never been pregnant, and I will never be pregnant, and I'm thankful for my wife that she's been pregnant, and I didn't have to. But I'm just thinking that, all right, do I want to walk at 9 months pregnant, or do I want to ride on a donkey 9 months pregnant? Let's flip the coin there for a little bit. But I wonder if they missed it. We sometimes do. We think, no, we shouldn't take this trip with a 9-month pregnant lady. That would be unthinkable. Or we think, well, if I go to Bethlehem, mom won't be able to be with me in the delivery room. Or if we go to Bethlehem, grandpa's not going to be able to hold him for several days because we have to come back that 70 miles sometime. Or what about my midwife? Will she travel with me? Many excuses. I wonder sometimes if we have excuses. Well, I really can't do that because that's too far from family. Well, I can't do that because I don't have the right degree. Well, do you know how much we'd have to sell in order to do that? That would take a lot of money. what would my boyfriend say? How would this work? The road would be way too bumpy, even without a donkey. Mary loved her husband and went. And I think many times we gloss over this part of the story, and we just jump to having Mary in the holding the baby and pondering all these things in her heart. And that was a tough go. That wasn't just a, let's just get on a plane, sit back, and let the pilot get us there. It was a step after step, or a waddle after waddle, however a pregnant lady makes it. You understand that if you've been pregnant before. It's not easy. It was difficult. God's love was exhibited that day through Mary and Joseph agreeing with the law and traveling. What maybe is God leading you into that you're hesitant to take that next step? Or maybe you're like, but I can't do that because it's too far away. Maybe start and see where God might lead. Mary and Joseph did, even though the conditions weren't perfect. Or wait, maybe they were perfect. Of course they were, because God set it up. Recently, this verse stuck out to me. Genesis 24:27. And God led me on this journey. Maybe you're somewhere in your journey, you're like, okay, this sure seems weird. I didn't plan this part of my journey at all. And God has led you on this journey. And instead of saying, you know, I don't want to go to Bethlehem, I'd rather go somewhere else, God says, go to Bethlehem. Mary's traveling was one of love. It must have been difficult and challenging, but she did it. And love says, I will go. Joseph also found a place for his family to stay. Love says, I will find a place. We all have stories, actually. Some of them are better than others. And those are the stories of when we leave our home and we go to our first place of residence. Some of those might have been called apartments. Some of those might have been called rooms. Some of those might have been called houses. Your place might have been called a shack. I don't know exactly what you might have called it, but some of your stories have been good, whether they be, oh, runny faucets that would drip through the night, or broken floorboards, or snow coming in through the ceiling, or rats. I know of a couple, they moved in and they had rats that would run up the side of the wall and the cat would and go get him. I mean, that, what a house. Smelly water, maybe cockroaches in an interesting neighborhood. Maybe you've had an interesting roommate when you first moved out. Maybe you had a basement apartment, or you were in the military when you moved out, and boy, is that an interesting place to be. Maybe there were thin walls when you first moved into your apartment, and there were other things going on beyond the wall that you knew about and you probably shouldn't know about going on the other side of the walls. Maybe maybe when you first got your apartment, you didn't have what they have, a nice big bed frame canopy. Now, some of you do probably now, but maybe it was just like an air mattress on the floor, or maybe it was a foam mattress, or maybe it was just placed on the floor. It was probably cheap, probably much less than you're paying now. Maybe you were in an apartment where the bathroom was, well, let's just say tiny. I mean, it was one of those things you could do all kinds of different things in the bathroom all at the same time because it was so small. Maybe you had a bed that during the day, you would fold it up and then you would bring it back down in the night because that was, there was a bedroom during the night and it was the living room during the day. Maybe you had holes in your carpet, or maybe you had secondhand furniture, on and on and on. I just got to thinking about Joseph and the place that they were staying. This wasn't the Hilton. This wasn't the Ramada. This wasn't even Super 8. Recently, I went to Texas and I laid to rest my grandmother and I stayed in a somewhat interesting hotel. I think there was a cockroach in it at one point in time. I think I killed it somewhere along the way, but I'm not sure. But I will tell you, I do know for a fact that there was a train not far from the door of our hotel. There was an outside entrance, and about 4:30 on the morning, the next morning that I arrived, the train decided it was time to go past, and it let me know that. I decided to go ahead and step it off just to see how close that train really was. And my steps, taking my steps, it was 27 steps from my door to the train track. So I'm assuming it might have been like at the back of the sanctuary, if not the back wall. That's where the train was at 4:30 in the morning. I told my family that. I had a cousin with me, and we went by for me to change clothes at one point in time. And when we pulled around the corner for me to get to my hotel room on the back side of the hotel, he said this, "Oh, that is close." I was like, "Yeah, it is. It was." We all have these interesting stories. Love says, "I will find you a place." It might not be the nicest, the best, the warmest, the coolest looking in the place you think it would be. And it may involve even a few smelly, let's say animals here, not people, but it says, "I will find a place." We sometimes want better and get frustrated with the places we're at. But Mary said, okay. She didn't say, "You know what? Find me a better place. I'm not going to have the birthright here. Are you kidding me? Take me back to Nazareth. By cattle poop, I'm not going to give birth. By cattle poop, not going to do it." She loved Joseph and returned and said, okay. Do you love your mate despite your circumstances? If you're in an abusive place, that's not good. However, sometimes we whine to our spouses about the places we're at. "Joseph, could you find a better place?" And Joseph's like, "I don't know where else to go, but here's a place for us to be." This Christmas season, let's love our spouses for our spaces. I'm reading a book called When Helping Hurts. It might be a good book for you to pick up. And it talks of going overseas and seeing some of the places that people live in, cardboard houses. A little different. Somewhere there was some swaddling clothes. It was probably not a pretty quilt or a pretty blanket that had on the back side of it, "Made to you by FWC Quilters." But they found some swaddling cloths and put baby Jesus in that. And think of this. The Lord came in a vulnerable spot. As a babe, very vulnerable. Joseph loved his wife and found her a place, though it wasn't the royal palace. Love says, "I will find a place." Another thing that I see from the passage here about love is that love lets others in. Love says, "Come in." We have a couple of families in our church that have strained relationships with their families. Are you one of them? Actually, I'm going to change this for just a moment. I think we have relatively few families in our church that don't have any strained relationships in their families. Each of us have families that we have family members. It's an uncle that's whatever, or an aunt, or a grandma, or grandpa, or a brother, or a sister, and there's some strain there for whatever reason. We are people. We're hard-nosed. We're prideful. We're unforgiving. We're protective. "Don't lay a hand on my daughter." "Don't touch my son." We have strained relationship. But think of this for a while. Love let others in. Who were these shepherds? These shepherds were probably stinky. They were probably uneducated. They probably hadn't had a shower for many days. And they probably didn't stop at the local disinfection factory and disinfect to go see Jesus. The fact is, it didn't stop the shepherds. They were going to see Jesus. And it also could have been a stopping point for Mary and Joseph. Hold on. We need to have a Jesus stabilized area here. We need to have a lockdown before we let anybody in this manger. This is Jesus. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Could you shepherds please, before you come in here, could you please use some disinfectant on your hands? Because you can't touch baby Jesus right now. This is baby Jesus. We don't want any infections. This needs to be as good a sterile environment as we can. Sorry about the things we had to clean out. You know, the things over on the floor, we had to scoop those, brush those over. But we need a stable environment now. Do we have some Jesus sanitizer here that you could use? Because this is Jesus. See, love says, "Come in." Mary and Joseph could have said, "You know what? Sorry, shepherds, we're not going to have you come and worship Jesus yet. We're going to wait for the wise men, because the wise men, they're, one, going to bring gifts." Shepherds, did you bring anything? Well, they're going to bring some gifts, and they're probably going to be a little cleaner, and not only cleaner, but they're going to be smarter. Love says, come in. This was modeled throughout Jesus' life all the way through. Catch this. Literally anyone was able to come to Jesus. Little children with snotty noses and definitely lizards in their hands or whatever they might have came to Jesus. There was a woman that was caught in adultery, and what'd they do? They threw her to Jesus. There was a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There was a Roman centurion. A Roman. He wasn't a Jew. A Roman centurion. There was a little short guy that he decided to go climb a tree, and he came to Jesus. There was a crippled by the pool of Bethesda. There was a blind guy continuing to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. There was a man who ruined another guy's roof, and they let him in. See, love lets others come in. Jesus' love was evident from those first few moments when they didn't say, no, can't come see Jesus, to come in and see Jesus. All throughout his life until he hung on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, the love of Jesus continued to say, come in, and his love continues to say, come in. This was God's love. This was God's love, really? Sure it was. I have a verse on the screen behind me. You know it, but say it with me. Here's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Leave that up on the screen, Ethan, please. This was God's love. He says, come in. This was God's plan. This is Jesus coming to our world, and this is the reason why we celebrate it. Praise his name. There's a story that's told by a guy by the name of Dave Simmons. He writes a book called Dad, the Family Coach. He took his 8-year-old daughter Helen and his 5-year-old son Brandon to a mall. As they got there, there was an 18-wheeler, and I'm assuming this is several years ago, there was an 18-wheeler that said Petting Zoo. Well, they asked to go, and so Dave, the father, gave them both a quarter before walking into Sears, where he planned to go buy a saw. He planned to just go spend some time in the hardware store, let his kids be out in the petting zoo. They were firing out there. He was in Sears, and he was looking around for the saw, and he knew something was up, because all of a sudden, he felt something, you know, when somebody's looking at you or somebody's by you, and like, what's happening? And he realizes Helen is standing next to him. So he's like, well, why are you with me? She looks at him, she says, well, Daddy, the petting zoo costs 50 cents. So I gave Brandon my quarter. Well, as you can imagine, it melted Dad's heart. And he said, in his book he writes, no one loved cuddly furry creatures more than Helen. So what did Dave do? He didn't do what you might thought that he did, and you maybe question him, but they finished at Sears. They went to the petting zoo. They stood at the fence, and they watched Brandon go crazy petting and feeding the animals. He had 50 cents in his pocket. That was burning a hole in his pocket. But he never offered it, and she never asked for it. Here's what he says. Helen probably learned something that day. Maybe she learned maybe never give my quarter away. Or maybe she learned that it's better to give than to receive. He asked the question, do you think Brandon remembers that day? Maybe, maybe not. But he says, I bet you Helen does, and she knows the sacrifice she paid. And maybe she knows the sacrifice that Jesus came as he loved this world, coming as a baby. That's what Christmas story is all about. Jesus' love coming to us, sacrificing for you and for me. It doesn't end there, though, because verse 20 says this. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as has been told them. Shepherds passed on the love, and so should we. That's why maybe I encourage you all this week. We don't have to wait till next Sunday to say Merry Christmas. And I'm assuming many of you have not just waited, oh, can't do that until, you know, December 25. All this week. Be like the shepherds. Glorify and praise God. Wear a smile on your face. Spread that love. Here's what love says. Love says, I will stay together. Love says, I will go. Love says, I will find a place. Love says, come in. And love gets passed on. I encourage you, let Christ's love come in, and then may it not just stay there, but may then it go out. Stand with me, please, as we close. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you determined to do for us, coming to this world and showing your love. Your word says that you love the world so much that you sent your one and only Son. And if we believe in you, we will have eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that wonderful fact. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the sacrifice that you paid. And Lord Jesus, may this Christmas season, may we understand that love even more. As we leave today, there'd be somebody here that hasn't accepted your love in their heart and life. I pray that they would do that even now. And then I pray that we would be like the shepherds. We're kind of like the shepherds, Lord. We know some of us are uneducated. Some of us are kind of bewildered by things. And yet the shepherds came and gave you praise. And then what did they do? They returned glorifying and praising you. And so, Lord, may all this week, may we make the great determination to share that love. Thank you for passing your love on to us, and may we share it with others. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd go before each one of us. I know it's been cold, Lord. You know it's been cold, and I pray that you would help us all to arrive home safely at our next engagement. And then I pray, Lord, that all this week that we would share your love, be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And may our Christmas celebrations have you in the middle of it. And we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.